So mindfulness of body, it's something I have in mind to share tonight. And so in Pali canon text, and the Buddha often praises and talks about the mindfulness of body. And he says that mindfulness of the body, when cultivated and developed, is of a great fruit and a benefit. And so I thought I'd share a little bit of the teachings of a mindfulness body based on the Pali Canon text, specifically on this sutta, and the title of the sutta is Mindfulness of the Body. And this sutta can be found in Majjhima Nikaya 119, for those who, you know, might be interested in looking it up. So Majjhima Nikaya 119. So mindfulness of the body is also often emphasized in secular mindfulness meditation teachings. And in secular mindfulness teachings, often the teachers would start with mindfulness of body, for example, mindfulness of breath, or becoming aware of and the sensations in the body. And through this kind of awareness of what is happening in this lived experience in the body, we began to cultivate our capacity to live in the present moment with more clarity. The mindfulness of body, however, in the Pali Canon teaching is much more extended, expansive, and has a profound implications. And so Buddha, when Buddha taught mindfulness of a body, and the whole sequence of the practices that's introduced in mindfulness of body are meant to lead all the way to full awakening, liberation, in addition to many other benefits and that may be available to oneself. And so I want to share a little bit about this sequence of practices that the sutta talked about. And some of them are not very, not often taught in secular mindfulness teachings. However, they can be quite profound. And so this mindfulness of body teaching consists of seven different practices and that are ordered in a particular sequence. It can be thought as a progressive sequence to cultivate mindfulness and samadhi. And through which, through this sequence of a practice, one can have a great clarity into the very nature of this body, which is called the three key insights, anicca, dukkha, anatta, and that is an impermanence, non-satisfactoriness of this body, and that it cannot be identified as self, anatta. So through these forms of insights, it becomes possible to have a complete destruction of defilements, and that leads to full awakening. So what are the seven different practices? So I'm going to give you this list of the seven first, and so you maybe orient your mind a little bit to this list of seven, and then I'll walk through each of this and in some form of a sequence to say a few words about each of them. So this list of the seven in Pali Canon text, it starts with mindfulness of breathing. And however, in the Chinese parallel, of the Pali Canon text, mindfulness breathing actually is number 3 in this sequence. which I'll say a few words on the sequencing a little bit later. But I just start with the list. Number one, mindfulness of breathing. The second one is awareness of the four postures, that is walking, standing, sitting down, and lying down. The third is awareness of the bodily activity, and that is if you're bending down, you know you're bending down. If you're eating, you know you're eating. If you're cooking, you know you're cooking. And so whatever you're doing in terms of bodily activities, you know that this is happening. So that's number three, awareness of the bodily activities. And number four is the contemplation of the anatomical parts. And the different parts of the body, contemplation of that this body is made up of different parts, component parts. Number five is contemplation of the four elements, earth, water, fire, and air. In other suttas, it also talks about the fifth element, which is space, but not in this particular sutta. And number six is the corpse contemplation, contemplation of the different stages of decay of the dead body, corpse. Number seven is the four jhanas, which is the four stages of samadhi. And so it's very interesting to look at this sequence to see what is happening with this sequence. And for me, it made a little more sense that the mindfulness of breathing is number three. And the whole sequence starts with something that is relatively easy to know, very simple, intuitive, and quite global. And so for most of the folks who began to practice, engage in the mindfulness of body practice, there's a first few are relatively easy, easily accessible. So for example, being aware of our postures. And we all know that we have some sort of posture and we're aware of it. And so the practice is to simply know that, I'm standing here, I'm standing. Or if you're lying down, just aware that you're lying down, very lightweight noticing, just know. And then the awareness of a bodily activities is also something very relatable. And maybe comparing to the first practice, it has a little more detail. And so you're now paying attention to different activities as you go about your daily life. And so it's maybe has a little more detail than just the four postures. And then after that, mindfulness of breathing. So now we're settling down to a more settled state of being, where we began to pay attention to some details of the activity. And as this whole sequence of seven unfolds, you get a sense that there is a growing sense of settledness and subtlety and collectedness. And so the strength of samadhi and mindfulness began to build up as we practice in this way, starting from the first practice, mindfulness, awareness of the posture, awareness of the bodily activities. And yet, the practice doesn't have to go in sequence exactly like this. For most of us, we may practice in one particular one in different situations and then just practice with that for quite some time. So for example, becoming aware of the bodily postures and bodily activities and was a, you know, a practice that I engaged in for quite some time, and especially at the beginning of my meditation practice. I didn't have a regular formal meditation sitting, but I was still interested in cultivating mindfulness. And so I incorporated just noticing my activities as I go about kind of living my life in daily life. And it has an effect, because becoming aware of our coarser level postures and bodily activities in action, it began to cultivate and tone our mindfulness muscle. And as we actually sit down, when we began to sit down, if we had cultivated this mindfulness in our daily life by noticing various activities as we do them, the sitting meditation can be more easily settling. So one can settle down much more quickly. But if, you know, during the day, you know, whatever you're doing, you're very preoccupied with thinking this, thinking that, and you know, for example, if you're cooking, instead of noticing that you're cooking and, you know, taking this spatula or flipping the pancakes, and you're simply thinking about all kinds of things. And then we have lost opportunities to really begin to tone our mindfulness muscle. And as we sit down and to do our formal meditation, our mind can still have this momentum to jump here and there, busy engaging in all kinds of mental activities. So this couple of mindfulness body practices can be a great way to really set the conditions up for us to go into more formal meditation practice. But they can also be complementary to formal meditation practice. And some people do formal walking meditation on retreats or daily life. And that itself can be a very meditative process as well. And as this process goes on, the next practice that's being introduced is mindfulness of in and out breathing. And in this particular sutta, mindfulness of breathing, and that's being described here, includes the four steps of mindfulness breathing, that is noticing in and out breathing as it is. And as you breathe in and out, begin to calm and settle the body. And so in our meditation before this talk, we did a little bit of that. And kind of as we begin to breathe in and out, this process itself can begin to settle the body and allow the body to become quieter and calmer. And some of you may know that mindfulness breathing itself can be a whole system, a comprehensive process of its own that leads to full awakening. And that process consists of 16 steps that go through mindfulness breathing that allows the body to calm down and then allow the mind to settle. And then go through the process to cultivate joy and tranquility, and also leading to seeing the insight, the nature of our experiences. And so that itself is a 16-step of a process. In this sutta, it's the first four steps and that are related to calming and easing the body that's being brought here. And then, but it has an effect because as we go through this mindfulness breathing process, when our bodies become to calm down, the next few practices that are introduced become more relevant, become more available to us. And so, for example, the next practice that's being introduced in the Sutta is the contemplation of the analytical parts. And so this is a contemplation that is not taught often in secular mindfulness. And some teachers also teach contemplation of analytical parts, but it's not very popular. And yet in the mindfulness of body teaching, it's a quite a significant practice of its own. So what you can, one way to understand this particular teaching is that as we become calmer in relationship to our body, we can begin to see this body in a bit more raw form rather than a bigger conceptual framework of what this body is, you know, whether it's beautiful or ugly, kind of all these other conceptual things began to kind of fade out. But we can begin to see this body as it is in terms of its componentary and parts. And so the classic teaching is to see this body in terms of the 32 parts or 31 parts, starting from the exterior part of our body, you know, body hairs and skin, the nails, and then go through this process and begin to contemplating internal of the body also. And all the way to you know, our flesh, bones, fat, and the bodily liquids, even including our urine. And so you know, you ask why? Why do we do this contemplation? And it's probably not very popular because if we begin to look at this body in this way, often our immediate reaction could be some form of aversion or repulsiveness. And so maybe that's kind of why it's not very popular teaching in contemplation of our mindfulness of the body teachings. But the Buddha prescribed this specific teaching as a way to really point at some strong forces of a craving in us. In particular, craving for sensual pleasures. It's not very hard to see that, that you know, many people, and most of us probably have a strong clinging to our bodies one way or another. And I'm aware that even for kids, when they are very young, they will begin to have some sense of how they wanted to be seen from the image perspective, you know, what to wear, how long the hair is. And as the kids grow older, you know, in teenager years, young adults, body images, you know, can become so defining for who we are. I can certainly relate to this myself. And as we get older, we can get very obsessed with our health, our the aging process. And so it's not hard to see that, you know, that there can be a lot of clinging and grasping in relationship to this body. And the Buddha has really seen this, that in, you know, kind of the human psyche. And so he prescribed this kind of contemplation to begin to see this as is, not something to be cling to as, you know, beautiful or repulsive against as ugly, but just as this is what the body is made up of. And yet, you know, as we began to engage in a practice like this, the contemplation of the analytical part, there can also be some danger, because for those who do have very negative and repulsive relationship with one's own body, and this form of a practice can lead to, I don't know, depression or maybe even self-harm. And so it's wise to really tune in to what kind of attitude we may have, and maybe even work with the teachers and to engage with this kind of practice so that one can move with this practice, move into this practice with a more balanced mind. In the sutta, and the simile that is being used to describe this particular form of practice is that as if one is looking into a bag of mixed lentils and mixed rice, and knows that, you know, the red lentil is red lentil, black lentil is a black lentil, and this is the way to look at, you know, here the body has all those different parts, just like, you know, the bag of lentils and rice mixed up here. And so there's no attitude of indulging or attitude of pushing away. And so it's a very neutral way of looking at things as is. And so that's contemplation of the analytical parts. Now moving from there, the next practice that's being introduced in this sequence is the contemplation of the four elements. And so what is happening is in this stage, now one's contemplation or reflection or observing of this body is now moving into more of a felt sense of what this body is. Now, this may not be very obvious if one just began to practice mindfulness body, because it's not very common for one to relate to this body at this level, which can be not very intuitive or hard to be accessible at the beginning. But if we've practiced as this sequence unfolds, we began to see that one's mindfulness maybe began to grow. One is able to let go of some of the higher level concepts and ideas, but now one is able to drop into the raw and felt sense of what this body feels like. So the elemental natures of this body, the firmness of the earthy part of the body, and the air movements of the body. And then the space all around us, inside us. And so contemplation of the four elements allow us to begin to cultivate even further what this body is in the elemental level, the raw level. And so this particular practice based on the contemplation of the four elements and can also cultivate a strong sense of ease and settledness. And so this allows the next practice to begin to become accessible. So the next practice is a corpse contemplation. Now, again, this may be something kind of a provocative in our modern secular mindfulness teachings. And rarely you would hear people talk about corpse contemplation. Yet the corpse contemplation serve very how do I say it? Very critical step in this cultivation, and that is, it's moving into a different form of a perceiving the nature of this body. Usually, when we come to the notion of a death, most of us, most people, will have some sense of a denial, even though we all know that the death would happen. But one would refuse to see it. But through this process of cultivating how we see our bodies in this sequence of practices, when it gets to corpse contemplation, the mind may be more settled and begin to be willing to see, oh, this body is of nature to age, of the nature to be sick, and of the nature to die. And even when this dead body, even when the death happens, this dead body goes through its own decomposition process, will eventually go back to earth, go back to nature. And so through seeing this, it can lead oneself to an insight into impermanence, unsatisfactoriness of this body, and the not-self nature of this body. This body is not something that we can hang on. It's not something permanent. And so this corpse contemplation began to bring in, kind of front and center, this inside way of seeing, the nature of this body, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And when we began to be able to see this body in this way, there can be a profound sense of letting go as well. And so in this sequence, the seventh practice is that of the four jhanas. So cultivation of the four stages of samadhi. And this is impossible because when we began to see the nature of this body, there can be a strong sense of letting go of grasping and clinging. And when the clinging and grasping are let go of, a deeper sense of well-being can bubble up. Joy, tranquility, equanimity can become available. And that can become a platform for us to lead into full liberation, awakening. And so this process that's described, prescribed by this particular sutta that includes, from a very simple, lightweight practice of being aware of our body postures, bodily activities, to our breath, and to noticing and reflecting, contemplating that this body is made component parts, and all the way to begin to notice that there is a felt sense of this body, which is very elemental nature of this body. Through this, then the samadhi becomes available to us. And this can lead to destruction of defilements. So this is really kind of a holistic system that covers the entire spectrum of our practice. And this practice has a lot of benefits, and this sutta itself, I have highlighted 10 different benefits, ranging from no longer being a victim of desire and discontent, no longer being a victim of a fear and dread, and have a stronger capacity to endure the vicissitudes of climate and hunger and disagreeable conditions, all the way to destruction of the defilements, as I mentioned before. And so it's a very profound teaching. And so I do hope that tonight's practice and this Dharma talk is a bit of an inspiration for us to engage in this practice with a lot of curiosity and maybe some dedication. And so may this mindfulness body practice bring much benefit to all of us and to all beings. Thank you for being here tonight. And I wish you all a wonderful evening or a wonderful day, wherever you are. So thank you.